caught with a smelly house. When we recently were house hunting, we found a house, and it was full of a very, very very bad odor. And at first we thought we could never live there. And then we saw it a few weeks later, and there had been a couple days of cleaning, and we thought, okay, well, maybe this will work. I remember coming to the elders meeting and sharing a prayer request. I don't know if we can, there was a dog smell inside the house, like a dog had been trapped in there, and the dog could not get out for days and days and days. And guess what happened? I don't need to tell you. So the Yao Ming. And so I said to the elders, boy, can you guys please pray for this? I don't know if we can actually, I had this feeling in my mind that it was a giant odor, we'd never get rid of it. We'd have to live with this smell. Can you imagine? And John got on JD.com. I had searched on Taobao and I couldn't find any special cleaning liquids. Well, he got on JD.com and he sent me three links. So when I went home, I ordered. And let's give it up for Taobao. Can we give a hand to Taobao? Woo! So one package came. It was the best liquid from Japan for killing dog odor. And then one came from the US, and then there was one from France. We hired two Ayis, and they came waves over 5 days, hours and hours. And I said, you guys have a competition, a World Cup between France, the US, and Japan, and see which liquid wins the final. The American one was pretty good. It did affect the smell, and the Japanese one did a little bit better. But the French one was the only one that left an aroma in the house after killing the odor. And after 5 waves and 5 days, it appears, praise the Lord and thank you, that the odor has been killed. So, you know, France did win, yes. What do you do when you are caught with a smelly house? Who do you call? Do you call John Hill? Or do you call the ladies in Annalisa's small group? And, oh yeah. What do you say? And what's the secret sauce? My son loves to go to Chick-fil-A and they have a secret sauce. How many of you have had that secret sauce or the special sauce, Chick-fil-A sauce? There's another place where they have Zaxby's. They have really good sauce. And what's the other one where it's a secret sauce? And there's one that has a Chinese sauce, like Jiaozi's. I like my jiaozi sauce. I like my jiangyou, chu, and 那个 xiangyou. I always have to have a little sesame oil in my sauce. Well, what's the sauce to get rid of the odor? Okay, I'll leave that with you. Well, we know that sin brings a terrible odor to the Lord. And what was it like for David as he lay in his bed? In his royal room with Bathsheba for those 9 months, after he had committed adultery, after he had seen her husband, one of his mighty men, David saw him and orchestrated his death on the front lines. Can you imagine his conscience? Can you imagine his heart? And to the Lord, in a spiritual way, our sin, there is an odor that comes up. And I can only imagine what it would be like during that time. David, it says here in this verse, sorry, let me back. I don't know if I can back up. Oh, yeah, let's see. Can back up? Okay, so here we have tossed sheets. David's not sleeping well at night. He's feeling hot. He's feeling God's hand. His conscience is attacking him because he broke the commands of God. He took something that didn't belong to him. He had all these things. He was the king of Israel. He was the king of Judah. He had all these wives. And he had all this power. And he'd had victory after victory. And he had a success of killing Goliath. And he had had some low moments. But this, perhaps, was the lowest. It says, when I kept silent, when David did not confess, 他没有承认他的罪, this is how he felt. I was groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. He was not a happy man. And there was an odor, there was a smell of sin in the royal home. And it had been of his doing. The Lord sent Nathan to David. And we don't get a lot of details about the process of receiving what God had said and then him going, like when God sent Samuel to anoint the son of Jesse. We got all those details. This one is the Lord said and he went. The Lord sent. And he came to David and he said, there was a town and there were two men. There was a rich man and a poor man. The rich man had many cattle and many sheep. And the poor man had one little lamb. He had raised it like his own child. He had nursed it. He brushed it. In fact, at night on the cold, he slept to keep the little lamb alive. And then the rich man had a friend who came and to host him. It was Chinese New Year's, and they wanted to have a big banquet. And he said, I'm going to kill a lamb for my friend, but I'm not going to take one of mine. I'm going to take this poor guy's lamb. And he took that lamb and he killed it. And Nathan told this story. And David was angry and he was upset. He said, that man should die. And four times he should pay for the death of getting too many clicks here. So he said, he said to David this story, and David was struck. His conscience was hit, and he began to get angry, but he didn't see his own sin. He only saw the sin in this other rich guy with all the lambs. All right, let me take a question here for everybody. What do the actions of the rich man reveal about his character? I want you to take a minute and talk about this in your small group. What do the actions of the rich man reveal about his character? How would you have reacted to someone like this? Okay, take a minute or two and talk about this. See if this little video will work.
And as a wedding gift, Hiram of Galilee sent 200 heads of cattle.
Well, thank him.
And finally, your prophet Nathan has legal matters for you to dispose of.
My lord, I would ask you to hear this matter in private.
My dear Mr. Joseph.
Now, tell me about this case. There are two men in a nearby city. One rich, the other poor. The rich man has many sheep, many cattle. The poor one has nothing except for one little ewe lamb is raised up since birth, like it was one of his own children. And yet, the rich man has taken up the poor man's one little ewe lamb to slaughter and sell it his own. Does anyone else do this? The rich man must give the poor man one whole flock, and then he must die. What was the name of this rich man? I want to know so I can see to his punishment personally. You are a dead man. God has given you everything. Houses, wives, soldiers, and a great name among the nations. If you needed more from him, you had only to ask. Instead, You used the Ammonite sword to kill Uriah and took his wife. Now the sword will never depart from your arms. And God has said, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. You shall not die, but the child born between you and the wife of Uriah shall surely die.
And as a wedding,
God gave Nathan a brilliant strategy to use this story from the life of a shepherd. And David was a shepherd, so this story spoke his language. And it also allowed him, it kind of provoked David's righteous indignation. And then he was getting ready to pass judgment on this other person, the rich man. And then Nathan said to him, you are the man. And we are the man. We are all that man. The Bible teaches that we have fallen astray, that all have fallen astray. Not one is righteous. And David, when he heard Nathan say that, he could have responded with anger and with excuses like Saul did, or to try to perhaps even sentence Nathan to death. I wonder how fearful Nathan was in going before the king. But here's a beautiful painting by Rembrandt, I believe it is. You are the man. You are the woman. We are the man, and the word man means all of us. So I'm sure it was a shock to David. He had been living in denial. He had been suffering the consequences of unconfessed sin. And then the Lord had mercy on him, and he sent Nathan, the prophet, to confront him. Sinclair Ferguson shares a story about when he was reading a book in a library. I believe it was in Scotland. And this book was written by the Archbishop of Canterbury about 1,000 years ago. His name was Anselm. And Anselm wrote a book called Why the God-Man. And he was discussing why God sent Jesus as fully God and fully man to bring salvation. And the book, there's a correspondence with a young monk, and his name is Basso. And Basso could not understand why God needed to send Jesus as a man and as holy man and holy divine. Basso couldn't get it. Why was that necessary? And Anselm wrote this line. He said, your problem is that you have not yet considered the greatness of the weight of your sin. And as we now look from David being confronted and David acknowledging that he had sinned, finally, after a whole year of hiding it, at least 9 months, now was the point David recognized, he understood, and he humbled himself. And this was the psalm that we have now, Psalm 51. Psalm 51, interesting. William Carey is one of my heroes. Do you know he said, I want Psalm 51 to be preached at my memorial service. In the medieval years, up until the Reformation, this psalm was the psalm that people would quote, recite, or pray from right before they were beheaded or before they were burned alive for their faith, the martyrs. It's probably one of the most beautiful psalms in the whole Old Testament. And as I listened to it and read it, I listened to Keith Green singing, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And Ian and Kevin and Evie just sang that song. I felt the confrontation of my own sin, and I felt the need to confess, and I felt God's forgiveness. And I also leaned into that desire to, God, please create in my heart a willing spirit to follow him wholeheartedly. We are all that man, all of us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. A lot of people might say, well, I've never killed anyone. I haven't committed adultery. But Jesus says, if you look at hate with your brother, and if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you have committed it, and you have done it, and you are just as guilty. So then he gives the consequences of David's sin. He was, the consequences were terrible. They were horrible. Four of his children would die. The youngest one, the one that had just been born, would die almost immediately of sickness. And then three others would die of the sword. Sorry, I'm having trouble doing two at the same time. Maybe I'll just forget that one. So he acknowledged his sin here, and he says, I have sinned against the Lord. When we sin against someone else, we may just think of the damage that it causes to that person or the damage that it causes to our children in our family or a colleague. But ultimately, our sin is against God. He did sin against Bathsheba. He sinned against her husband. He sinned against all of Israel and all the priests. He sinned against God's law, the Ten Commandments. He was under the law, the Torah. He needed to not commit adultery and not murder, and yet he did that. And he said, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. So here's the gospel right here in this verse. And this is the good news to us. No matter what sin you have done, if you confess your sin and if you choose to follow God and you fall on your face and humble yourself and say, God, I'm a sinner. I did that. I need your help. Will you please clean me, wash me, cleanse me? Then God promises that he will do that and that you will not die. And that's what he said to David. But because by doing this you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt, the son born to you will die. Okay, here's another question for you in your small groups. Try to recall a time when you needed to confront or be confronted. How did it feel? How did you or the other person respond? Okay, take a moment. So, David, he wrote this psalm after he was confronted by Nathan. And he comes to God at the beginning of the psalm, and he says, with empty hands, he falls and begs for mercy. He doesn't have any pretense. He doesn't say anything about himself other than, I have sinned. But he names two promises that God has given and had given to the people of Israel, that God was a loving God. His unfailing love, he calls, and he talks about your compassion. And he calls upon that, and he appeals to God's compassion and to his unfailing love. And he says, blot out my transgressions. The word blot, I don't know if we use this word in our with our laptops. Can we really blot with a laptop? I don't think so. But if you had ink and like a fountain tip pen or a feather pen, and you're doing writing on a scroll like they did, and there was a mistake made, they would blot it out. And that's what he says. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse The images here in wash and cleanse are like maybe your grandma, when she took that washboard by the stream or by the well, and she took your granddad's dirty shirt and she scrubbed it again and again against that board. Or have any of you ever used a washboard? Okay. Oh. He said, I've sinned. And it's not just on the outside. It's all over. It's deep inside me. It's in my very nature. And my sin is always before me. And it was a sense of being guilty. It was the conscience speaking to us. There is a difference between the animals and humans. And we have a conscience. We've been created in the image of God to glorify Him and to meet, to know our Maker. You are justified, God. David understood that God was righteous and that he was justified, and he could have just killed David out of punishment. And he could do the same with us. We all deserve death for our sin, every one of us. But God in his mercy sent Jesus, and he made a way. For this is a picture of David after Nathan had confronted him and he realized that he was sinning against God. And sometimes we don't always respond right away. We hide, we're full of shame, and we don't want to face it. But the sooner we do, the sooner will come forgiveness and joy will come in the morning. The hyssop is really cool. Give me the hyssop, honey. Next slide. Keep going. There we go. He says, cleanse me with hyssop. Hyssop was used in Egypt when the Israelites were about to be their firstborn. There was a plague that were sent. Plagues were sent, and they were told to put the blood over the doorway and use the hyssop as a paintbrush. And then the angel of death would not take the firstborn in that home. Hyssop was used when Jesus, the very last thing, he said, I am thirsty. And they took hyssop and they dipped it in the wine vinegar and they held it up to his lips. And he drank. And then he said, it is finished. And here David says, wash me with hyssop. Cleanse me. So hyssop is a spiritual instrument of dipping into the blood in the Old Testament and then putting it on those lepers, on people who are unclean, and to cleanse even a house, they would use the hyssop. So it's a beautiful image. I don't know what the contemporary thing would be. But we just, it brings joy when we are, one of the most intimate moments I think I've had with Annalisa in the last 30 years of being married was one day I remember confessing to her sin. And I was weeping, and I was afraid what she would say. And she shared her forgiveness, and she started crying too. But the joy of being able to pray and confess and ask forgiveness. And God blots out your iniquity. Only He can restore you, and He can, and He will. But you must turn to Him. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away like you did Saul. Don't take your spirit from me. And this is very interesting. In this verse here, it says, verses 10 to 12, it's the first use of the Holy Spirit, of the word, the full name of the Holy Spirit in the whole Old Testament is right here. He says, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And we want God's Holy Spirit to be with us and to guide us and to fill us and to move through us. Please don't leave me. And God promises, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And then as a result of being, of confessing, of being forgiven, then David is able to teach others. And not only for him, but for the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, and also for us. This prayer becomes our prayer, and it becomes an example for all of us of what we should do when our house is full of smell, when our lives are not pleasing to the Lord, and even the kids are complaining about mom and dad. Dad, wow, how could you talk to mom like that? Oh, dad. Oh, man. Dad, how could you lose your temper? Give your brokenness to God. We are clay vessels, jars of clay, and His treasure has been put inside of us. So rules for addressing a smelly house, we're right at the very end here. Who do you call? Call on the one who can clean up your house, who can clean up my house, who can deal with the odor. And Jesus is the only one who can do that. And what do you say when you call? You say, I've sinned. 耶稣,我需要你的爱,求你饶恕,求你赦免我的罪。 Lord, come, please, forgive me. I have sinned. And what's the secret sauce? The secret sauce is the blood of Christ. It is the body and the blood that we celebrated at communion. That is the way that God has restored relationship with man. It was through Jesus and that sacrifice. And without Jesus, there is no way for God to have anything to do with us. But it's through Jesus that we can be cleaned, that we can be washed. So the first moment you become aware of a bad smell, first time, how many times do you feel that you have ever been aware of sin? Sometimes it's easier to see a sin in our spouse than it is to see sin in myself. Sometimes it's easier to see the sin in my teenage son or daughter than it is to see it in myself or my neighbor or someone who's offended me. But get caught by God. Don't get caught with a smelly house. God wants to catch your heart this morning. And the last thing that you need to ask for is a willing spirit. Confess and repent, and God will forgive you. And then ask for a willing spirit to lean into Him, to abide in Him, like the branches in the grapevine, and to bear much fruit. The Lord has taken away your sin. He's taken away my sin. And you will not die. He promises eternal life if you believe by faith in Jesus. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for you're the answer to our stench. And we do stink when we sin. We need the aroma of Christ. Fill us, bring your Holy Spirit, and we confess we're desperately in need of your cleansing. Blot out our sin, O Lord. Forgive us. Make us anew. Create in us a new heart. And bring back that tenderness and the ability to hear your voice and listen to your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.